A next important step was that after about 1100, church reformers came to Ireland. They began to sort of bend Ireland to the ways of the European church more generally, and they began to organize the church on a more strict territorial basis. So we see, as we've noted in a couple of places in the early Middle Ages, that ecclesiastical organization went along with, and to a degree perhaps even preceded, political organization. In the 12th century, a rather fateful moment was reached. King Rory O'Connor, in his attempt to exert a wider and wider control inside Ireland, turned to England for mercenaries. Well, his request of King Henry II of England for mercenary assistance in his own battles, in his own plans in Ireland, awakened the interest of Henry II in Ireland, who invaded in 1171. The English, of course, are still there in the north. Irish political development was in many respects retarded by this English incursion, which affected the island for a very long time. So across our period then, Ireland opens politically disunited and with Vikings attacking it, and ends politically fragmented, not quite as disunited as once before, but now with English intrusion being the dominant theme. If we continue moving around this arc of frontier, we might go to Eastern Europe. Here we'll see that promising beginnings in a number of regions seemed always to encounter crushing difficulties. For instance, the Polish kingdom. The Polish kingdom grew greatly in strength and cohesion and power and governmental authority along Germany's eastern frontier. It was well governed, and it was very much anchored into the western orbit by its decision to embrace Roman Catholicism. You'll perhaps recall that the Byzantines had been spreading Orthodox Christianity in much of Slavic Europe. Well, Poland decided for the West, decided for Rome, decided for Roman Christianity, and this opened up, of course, also important possibilities for collaboration with the Germans. And yet in the early 12th century, King Boleslaw III divided his realm among three sons. He did this in 1138. And as a result, the slowly unifying Polish monarchy was now weakened and disunited, and therefore became much weaker than many of its neighbors who were tempted and who succumbed to the temptation to meddle in Polish affairs. Another example in the Slavic world is Rus, the remote ancestor of Russia. Now, the Vikings established a combination trading and military base, Swedish Vikings in this particular instance, at Kiev in 862. Gradually, the state expanded. Gradually, it entered into commercial and cultural relations with a number of powers, but particularly with Byzantium, from which it accepted Orthodox Christianity. And yet the state of Kiev and Rus, over two or three centuries' time, was burdened by succeeding weak and strong leaders, by aristocratic factionalism inside the country, and by repeated attacks from peoples coming across the steppes, the last and most devastating of which attacks came from the Mongols. But we'll have occasion to encounter the Mongols again in a somewhat later lecture. Suffice it to say that they put an end to the earliest phase of the development of the Kievan Rus. So, outside attacks, outside conquests, playing rather decisive roles, different kinds of roles, but in Iberia, in Ireland, in Poland, and in Russia. We can see complex relations with outside peoples playing decisive roles inside. Italy offers us another set of examples. First of all, we need to recognize that we can't actually talk about Italy. The thing didn't exist. Italy was a sort of a geographical expression, but there was no nation, no country of Italy. We can make some sense out of the political geography of Italy by dividing the realm into sort of three main zones. Let's begin in the south, all the way in the south, and oftentimes that means including Sicily as well. The south was, like the frontier regions that we've been speaking about, an area subject constantly to outside influence. For example, as the early Middle Ages open, it is Byzantines who are powerful in southern Italy. Beginning in the 9th century, Muslims conquer Sicily, for example, and exert considerable impact on southern Italy as well. In the 11th century, A good deal of southern Italy and portions of Sicily are conquered by Normans. We think of the Normans who conquered England in 1066. There were other Normans prominent in the crusading armies that went to the east. But yet another group of these restless, turbulent, ambitious Normans conquered a kingdom for themselves in southern Italy. Eventually, that kingdom was supplanted by the Germans, who in turn were supplanted by the Aragonese.